Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460 AM. It is 7:05 in the morning. It's January the 6th, 2011, and it's Carl and Linda Bott. Hey, honey, say hello.
Good morning. I am here.
You are here. We're also joined by Bad Bob.
And morning.
Bad Bob. I like that. Did you get your haircut?
I did, as a matter of fact.
It's looking very good. Is it at our favorite place?
Yes, it was. And quite the crowd in the I had probably wait about half an hour, but it was worth the wait.
Well, you know, it's I've noticed that they're filling up in here. I may have to start saying things like they cut ears. But, no, Cypress Square Barbershop. We'll get to them later. But great. Okay. Hey, look, you can call us at 605-4567. That's 530-605-4567. Or you can join our ever-growing group of chatters at KCNR1460.com. Just tune on there. Just go to our website, click on the show, and your chat machine starts. But we've got a number of things happening today. We're going to be talking to Francie Sullivan. She'll be here at 8 o'clock. There's a lot of things going on that we want to talk about.
All right.
With Francie, but some of the new things that are happening. And, gosh, the front page here. There's so many exciting things going on. I just don't know where to start. Let's start with Linda.
I almost forgot. Well, yes, I haven't gone the last couple of days, but as many of you know, are you finding it hard to get into the swing of the new year? And so you go through the holidays, and it's a wonderful time and joyous, but, you know, we have an old home, and our old home is feeling its bones. And if it's not been one thing, it's been another. And so as a team, you know, it's just been one of those things where, you know, when people say they're going to come out and there's a block of time. So I've been handling things like that. Also booking some acts that are going to be going up to Anselmo. We're going to be announcing that soon with a new music series. It'll be the spring music series. And as well as, you know, my show on Thursday nights, which is tonight. And so I have some wonderful guests tonight, some giveaways. You might want to hear that today, 33 degrees. Currently, at this time, it's going to be a beautiful day, a little morning frost, but high of today, 58. And the weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Have missed the chat room. It's just so strange, you know, not coming in midweek. And so here we are. We have a lot going on today. Want to hear you weigh in on so many topics, like Carl said, and I think you just went into the chat yourself.
I just went into the chat room and completely, you know, fumble-fingered the everything I was writing. So what I'm trying to say is, hey, welcome to the show, my friends. Now, go on out to your other buddies who may not be here in the chat sites. Tell them, call them up right now. It's just a little bit after 7. Say, get in here. But we want to say hello to JRDs. We want to say to Sungolds here.
Oh, good morning,
and
Sungle.
Bob's, and gosh, who else? Indie guy's there that apologized for a couple of words he used yesterday. That's okay, Indie guy. You know, we do. We police ourselves here. We take it easy on each other. We just talk about the facts. Now, we're going to take a quick break, as we usually do at this time. I'm going to come back. Did you know that Reading Holiday Inn is going to be hosting the first Cannabis Instruction Training Center? That's right. We're going to talk a little bit about that. You can probably imagine it's kind of gotten my attention. This is Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Casey, good morning. This is KCNR 1460. Good morning, Carl and Linda Bott. I'm back after a couple days on assignment, and it's true. When they say assignment, people kind of snicker under their breath, like, no, I wasn't sleeping in.
Hey,
all right.
When Indie Guy says, when Carl says Linda is on assignment, I get visions of Emma Peel. You are so close, Indie Guy. So
what was that show? What was that British show with the spies? Not The Untouchables, but something along those lines.
Yes.
I forget the name of the show.
Mr. Steed and Mrs. Peel.
The Adventures.
There's something.
Mr. Steed.
The Avengers.
Yes.
The Avengers, yeah.
Okay, now, yippee-i-ko-ay. No way. Yippee-i-oh-ki-yay. Yippee-i-oh-ki-yay. On this day in 1880, America's greatest silent film cowboy star, Tom Mix, was born. How did he become a movie star? Easy. He just walked on, or rather he rode onto the set of Ranch Life in the Great Southwest. And the year was 1909. So he was somewhere in Oklahoma when he spotted the Selig Company film crew. Next thing, he became roping a steer on camera. So that's how he became Tom Mix.
Became famous. He was one of the big guys in his horse, Tony. Yeah, did you know
his
that?
Horse, Tony? His horse, Tony. You would know Tony. That because Carl is rather a Western story. Aficionado and the great story of how we met. Did you want me to... Did you have something there that you wanted to cover before
to
I went into kids?
Before you went into that. No, go into that right now, in fact, because then let me have the rest of this, because I'm going to go on a rant like you can't believe.
Well, kids born on... All right.
With the ends of... My hair is on is smoldering right now.
Strap in and hold on, okay? So if your child or a child or you know of somebody who's born this year, there's going to be a few things that are going to be obsolete for children that are born in 2011. And we have a list of those things. Videotape will be a thing of the past. Bob just turned around like...
No. It was this week in 1970 that the VCR was first introduced to the public at the Consumer Electronics Show. So that news item came out the other day.
Well, there you go. The next on the list is travel agents. Well, not dead today, this profession is one of many that's been decimated by the Internet. Next on the list, the separation of work and home. When you're carrying an email-equipped computer in your pocket, it's just not just your friends who can find you, so can your boss. Books, magazines...
Yeah, remember that bad, Bob. Mm-hmm.
Books, magazines, and newspapers like videotape, word written on dead trees, are on their
dead
way out.
Dead tree media is on its way out, my friends. You know, I know it's hard because we like reading them. We like the paper. But, it 3 to 5 years?
I suppose that's for the new generation. And call me old-fashioned. I still like to write checks. I still like the smell of a book, the feel of a paper. I don't want those things to go away.
The crack of the whip.
Well, okay. Movie rental stores. you actually got in your car and drove someplace just to rent a movie? Question mark. Watches. You know, we noticed that. Somebody brought that up the other day.
Nobody had a watch on.
Nobody had a watch on, but we occasionally wear watches. It's of our generation, but the younger generation, many do not wear watches.
They have their phone with them.
Your correct time is the smartphone for the hip and the young today. Paper maps. I love a map. Isn't that fun to just pour over a map?
Well, you know, for that they're talking about people will have GPSs built into one of their digital accoutrements there, so you just plug it in. Now here's the problem with all this, and I am sincerely seeing this as a problem. Is that, let's go to this, because the Marine Corps was trying to do that. They said, we're just going to do away with all these maps and just put them on these discs, so we don't have to be carrying all these maps aboard ship. And the commander said, so what happens if something happens to these discs?
Or the batteries.
What happens if, the disc would be put into a larger map reader so you could print them out if you had to. That way you didn't have to take literally tons of maps with you because we covered so much area.
Well, at one time...
When you're aboard ship. But the thing is... What happens if the disc are contaminated or something takes your disc reader out? You have no maps. And this is what I'm saying here is that you've got all this stuff and it's all in electronics, but it relies on a satellite feed. What happens if you don't have a satellite feed, my friends?
Well, out in the boating world, I mean, GPSs are pretty ubiquitous, but any mariner with a brain carries a set of charts as a backup, because if you lose power and you're out at sea with no reference points, you are in big trouble.
Yeah, we can't rely our whole lives on machines, although they can help us. But here it says paper maps of the next generation will probably have to visit a museum to find one. I just, ugh. Wired phones. Why should you pay $35 every month to have a phone that plugs into a wall? For those born today, this will be a silly concept.
Well, then here's a good reason. Yesterday, Sam Paredes couldn't call us for a half an hour because he didn't have a phone that plugged into the wall, and then his signal was down. So he had no phone. He had no emergency phone.
Newspaper classifieds. The days are gone when you have to buy a bunch of newsprint just to see what's for sale.
Well, look at Craigslist. Look at all the things that are on ShastaTradingPost.com.
Long distance.
Gone.
Thanks to the Internet, the days of paying more to talk to somebody in the next city, state, or even country are limited.
Yeah, did you hear that, Charter?
Dial-up Internet. Well, not everyone is on broadband. It won't be long before dial-up Internet goes the way of the plug-in phone.
I believe that.
Encyclopedias.
Ooh.
Imagine a time when you had to buy expensive books that were outdated before the ink was dry. This will be nonsense term for babies born today.
Now what you'll get is a disc. You'll get a disc with all the information from the dawn of time. Will be on a set of a couple of discs.
Well, it won't even be on a physical device. It'll be out there in the cloud, which raises questions of who's watching the information and who will update reality to suit their needs.
It's like Wikipedia. Yeah. You know, Wikipedia, you know, everybody goes, oh, yeah, it's a Wikipedia. Well, guess what? That's only as good as the people that put stuff in there. They have found many, many mistakes in Wikipedia.
And last on the list, forgotten friends. Remember when an old friend would bring up someone you went to high school with and say, oh, I forgot about them. Well, the next generation will automatically be in touch with everyone they've ever known. Ever.
Why? How? Does it say how?
Doesn't say how, but I'm sure it's just all internet.
Because they're interactive. You know what? Frankly, I don't want to know what happened to Buffy Thomas. You know? I didn't like her back in the third grade. There's no reason for me to like her now.
Was Buffy a biatch?
How would I know? She was only third grade.
Well, Carl, yeah, but she must have done something bad to you for you not to like Buffy after third grade.
Well, first of all, anybody that names their child Buffy starts right there.
The Slayer. We'll be right back after these messages.
Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning, 7:23 in the morning, January 6th, 2011. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting on KCNR 1460. Let's go to the phones. Jay.
Hey, how are you guys doing this morning?
Fine,
good
Jay.
Good morning, Jay.
You're getting ready to cut into my rant, but you're always interesting, so what you got?
Well, you know, I just find it funny what you're talking about, how technology has been replacing a lot of things. And, I mean, it's been that way for a long time. I mean, they stopped putting things on sleds and put them on wheels. When they stopped pulling them, they used horses. And they stop using the horses, they use cars. I mean, there's always been changes, and you always got to have a backup. It's just the way it is.
Well, so what's your backup to your horse?
Well, you know, I've got a strong back, so I'm good to go.
Well, a lot of people are writing things in here that they have eight tracks. Hey, look, I've got eight tracks. I've got a wood-burning stove. My phone plugs into the wall. I need nothing.
Well, you know what I find hilarious is that the more we get advanced, the more we go in cycles. Back in the day, we came out with this wonderful device called the telegram. We strung wire all over the country, and we went din 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 din. Now, then we came up with this invention of a phone where you just talked into a device and people could hear you on the other side. But what are kids doing now? They're doing a text going back to you.
Well, you know, that's true. And
using
because
text.
Of that,
do you understand how to text?
No, you don't, because they've got their own little abbreviations. And, you know, in fact, I don't understand some of the people in here when they're like, well, you know, it took me a while to figure out that IMO is that, in my opinion, and LMAO or something like that. Laughing my.
Well, OMG,
you know.
LOL.
Well, LOL, I think, is laughing out loud. In fact, right. There's one right there, JRD said LOL Indy. Anyway, so, but here's the thing with me is anything that you have that can affect your life in the sense of keeping you alive or healthier, always have a backup.
Right.
Don't,
exactly.
You know, because they've got dive computers now for scuba diving, and if people go, oh, here's my computer says this. Well, what if your computer's wrong? What if your computer just made that one error and said you could spend another 10 minutes down?
One big problem we've had. And I know it's going to sound weird, but it started with the calculator, is that we've gotten so dependent upon technology that in many cases, most people have lost the knowledge of how to do it on their own.
That's right. No, I think they let kids use calculators in classes now. But,
yeah, and a lot of them can't do
and you know what the reasoning is?
Multiplication on their own.
You know what the reasoning is? you're always going to have a calculator.
Right.
Yeah, can you believe that?
Until you don't.
Until you don't. Till that bad guy on the other side shoots a hole through your calculator. Okay. All right. Hey, we got to run, Jay. I got to ramp.
Have a great day.
All right.
All right, Jay. Have a good
one. Hey, yellow
cab.
Ooh, ooh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
1, 2, 3, 4.
Hey, you know what? Those guys, they're advertising well.
I had somebody out of the blue yesterday say, I just like that yellow cab guy, Jay. He's a great. Thank God you're going to start having him on a monthly segment.
Okay. Reading Holiday Inn, okay? The Reading Holiday Inn has decided to host this weekend the Cannabis Industries Training Center. They're going to have a two-day seminar and lecture series on how to enter and stay in the medical cannabis business. Like, we have a problem around this town. The main goal is to motivate the audiences so everyone is going to walk out and go into the business. At the event will be the well-known medical cannabis grower Ed Rosenthal, who will have a book signing, and a court-qualified medical cannabis expert Chris Conrad will give advice. Representatives from local collectives, health professionals, growers, brokers, and law experts will also speak. Sounds like a good place for the police to have their cameras. So, just kidding. Speakers from the Oaksterdam University down in Oakland, you know, the first medical cannabis educational institution in the country, the campuses, blah, 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 blah. Now, in Shasta County, there are about 25 medical cannabis collectives, many of them right here in River City. In fact, people that come to visit who have not been here before, when they see them, they go, oh, my, how many do you have here? And I go, anywhere from 19 to 25, 20. Now, last year, the state issued a total of 12,659 medical cannabis identification cards to California residents. 12,600 of them went to Shasta County. No, I'm just kidding. 51 cards went to Shasta County residents. That's the highest number of new cardholders in the country, in the county, since 2004. Now, here's my question with this. How many cardholders are there in Shasta County? We have 20 collectives. Let's just say 20 because it's easy for me to divide into that. 20 collectives and 51 cardholders. That's new cardholders. So how many do we have? Do we need 20 collectives for, I mean, if you just look at a percentage, what do we have? 500? 500, you know, people with the recommendations, and we have 20 cannabis, and now we're having conventions? We're having conventions in Reading? So that we can show people how to grow it? You know, I think maybe we need to take a look at this. I don't think anything's going to happen. I just think as I go back to what's happening in Hayfork, and we have our people up there, it's destroying the economy. It's destroying their environment. It's destroying their lifestyles. There's people growing this crap everywhere around here. And when is there going to be a restriction? When at one point does the person's right to own a house and not have marijuana next to them? Is that ever going to happen? Carl Lindebach, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
Morning!
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's 7:34 in the morning. This portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988, Doug Tooley and his band of merry installers put in Dish Satellite. Now, it's important not to call that 800 number. You need to call the local number, 244-1988. They've just moved to a new location, 1345 Liberty Street, right there where the 44 is kind of split and one, you know, going out over the bridge and coming back in, that building right there. That's B&T Satellite. They guarantee their work. We use them, and we've been very happy with Doug and his gang that are putting it into Satellite.
Well, that's really exciting. You know what, they've got a great location. That's just like, you can't get a better location than that.
Yeah, I mean, you see it everywhere. Yeah.
Currently 33 degrees. It's going to be a beautiful day today. High with 58. Yeah, I can talk. Back after the break here, and the weather's always brought to you by Ensalmo Vineyards. You know, we have a guest in the studio right now that just walked in, Dr. Glenn Schaefer. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Last year, you guys at Simpson University started a program that were special classes designated for seniors. But everything that you have in your classes that I see here, I would like to take.
When you're old enough.
Well,
our minimum age is 50.
Okay, well, I fit in that category.
Oh, okay.
So, welcome to the program, and this is really exciting. Let's talk about what happened last year and the classes that you're starting this year and registration and the body of the classes. So, what happened last year?
We offered three courses, one each month, September, October, November. The September course was on the world of the Bible, biblical backgrounds. The October course was Fire and Ice, the geology of Northern California. And the third one was the life and work of C.S. Lewis.
Ooh.
Now, each of the courses are 10 hours long, 1 hour each Monday, Wednesday, Friday, during the day so that older people can avoid trying to drive at night. The courses in beginning in January, this coming Friday, the two courses are Bonhoeffer and the Holocaust. And the second one is telling your personal story.
Okay, now those, first of all, you said you had 23 people that per class that registered last year.
That's correct.
And so how does one register and you are before they get filled up? Because once they hear this program, I know especially the Holocaust, people are going to flock. It's such an interesting topic. And then for us to be educated about it. Where do we go? What do we do?
Today is the last day that one can register because we start on Friday, tomorrow. The class starts at 10:20 tomorrow. If you, I guess we could allow walk-ins tomorrow, but I would prefer if you would either go online and register or call me after I get off the airways today. Call me at 226-4146, and we'll get you in.
And how do they go online?
They go online, Simpson University, and hit Senior School, and then they're able to register and pay by credit card. If they want to pay by, if they don't have capability to go on, go online, then they can come to the campus and pay by check.
And here's the great thing about Jay and his yellow taxi service is that if you can't drive, you have a problem getting around. The great services that Jay and the yellow taxi, they here's a perfect example. You're at this place, you can't drive at night, or you can't drive, or whatever, you know, you're taking a new medication or something. You have, for the, it's really somewhat of a wonderful fee to be able to take you and drop you off and know, this is the person that's taking me. So let's talk about how much does it cost to take a class?
The cost is $95 per person, or if a couple registers, it's $145.
Wonderful. So let's talk about some of the programs that are some of the classes that, you are offering, because I think there's about six here that looks like you the one that's starting this Friday is the Holocaust.
Well, there are two that are starting this Friday. One is the Bonhoeffer and the Holocaust, and the second one is telling your personal story. That will run through the end of January. In February, we offer two additional courses, one taught by Dottie Smith called Shasta County History 101, and the second course is on documents from Bible times. These are documents that do not appear in the Bible. In fact, most of them are not written by Jewish people. They are either from Mesopotamia or Egypt, but they help illustrate what life was like and how people thought in that time. In March, we're going to offer two additional courses. One is Life Through the Lens, and then the second course is Reading Biblical Narrative. And then in April, we will end up the year with two additional courses, the Protestant Reformation, and then Taking the Mystery Out of the Internet.
Well, if you can do that, I'll have to sign up for that one. Hey, we've got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. Our guest, Dr. Glenn Schaefer from Simpson University. They're having a series of courses out there for adults. Join us after these messages. Oklahoma, Free Fire Media, 7:43 in the morning, January 6, 2011. For those of you who are just kind of like catching up, yeah. Hey, another daily geo fact brought to you by Crystal Air. Using the inherent heating and cooling in the Earth's soil is an age-old concept. With the advent of modern technologies like the electric heat pump for efficient heating and cooling, and the development of materials technology, geo-exchange heating and air conditioning has become a modern solution to our concerns. To find out more, give Crystal Air a call at 623-1000. That's 530-623-1000. Or go to www.crystalair.info.
Our guest this morning is Dr. Glenn Schaefer, and we are discussing the Simpson University for Seniors courses that are coming up. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you.
And as I look here at the registration form, the first class begins tomorrow.
Correct.
At 10:20 a.m.
That is correct.
And the courses are $95 per person or $145 per couple.
That is correct.
Now, I'm looking at there are no grades, no tests, no required homework, only the joy of learning.
That's our goal, so that there's no pressure put on people. They won't be able to say, well, I don't remember, or they don't have to remember. Everything that they want to get from the class is available to them. I found in the three courses in the fall, though, that people want homework. They value being able to read and get caught up on things that the teacher is saying.
And probably have a discussion, especially if you take it as a couple or with a friend. So beginning tomorrow, you have there are two options: telling your own story, which is designed to help people get started writing about their lives using examples and exercises.
That is correct. And Dr. Pete Peterson taught at Shasta College for a number of years. He's since retired, but after I signed him up to do this, I discovered that he is known on the West Coast for doing this very very kind of thing.
Well, we're very fortunate. The second option is Bonhoeffer and the Holocaust. This is an introduction to the life and thought of the Lutheran pastor hanged for his part to overthrow Hitler and the Nazi government.
Yes, and the presenter there is Dr. Craig Slane. He is part of the Bonhoeffer Society. In fact, I think he's part of the International Society of Bonhoeffer Experts. He teaches at Simpson University.
Fascinating.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Schaefer.
Thank you.
And, you know, sounds like, again, it's going to be just a great, you know, another great series there. You know, after watching some of the things that are happening, you heard me in there talking about it. Do you think there's ever going to be a class for seniors and the cultivation of medical marijuana to supplement your Social Security incomes?
Not at our college.
Yeah,
okay,
yeah.
Okay. I was pretty positive.
We would love to have you come back in February and talk about the classes
Absolutely.
That will
Thank
be beginning
you.
In February.
Yeah, we'd like to do this on a regular basis.
Which will be Dottie Smith teaching Shasta County History and Dr. Glenn Schaefer, yourself, teaching the documents from Bible Times.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Well, thank you very much for being here,
again,
Doctor.
Give us your phone number.
It.
And right. So if somebody is like, I really want to do this, and I can.
The number after about 8:30 will be 226-4146.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. When we come back, we've got a gent that's got a lawsuit against the county. Been on before. It's a pretty interesting story. His name's Larry Gasper. Join us after these messages. KCNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460. Good morning, North State. 7:50 in the morning. Phone lines here are 605-4567. We're chatting and streaming on KCNR1460.com. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Great, great place to go in and get your coffee in the morning at Espresso Joe's. They fix it any way you want. They have all types of coffee accoutrements there for you. And then walk next door, and there it is, the finest walk-in humidor in the state. And get that perfect cigar, get those things that for that cigar lover in your family. And the best thing of all is all the people there are knowledgeable, and they're all extremely friendly. Joe and Shelley would not have a store that wasn't. And they're very, very supportive of our community and our veterans. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Okay, Let's go to the phones. Larry, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. How are you this morning?
Now, this is Larry. He was he'd called before. He had a lawsuit with the county because he was doing a kind of a green business where he was grinding up everything that came to his house, including tons of stuff brought by the county, and then one portion of the county said you needed a fee or something, right?
Yeah, what they did is they told me originally to buy a piece of property that was zoned for what I needed to do, which I did. And we were there for 2 years with them bringing product to me, and I was grinding up their material for them free, everybody's stuff for free, recycling it. And then they told me I needed a use permit, and then they came back in and said I didn't have that. Well, they shut me down, and we hired an attorney. We've submitted a claim against the county through the risk management portion. But we found out we put a number up for people to call in as had problems with the county, either trespassing or on their businesses, or just situations where the counties have been abusing their private property rights or their, you know, civil rights. And that number is 245-2000. We've had, and we're getting a good response out of that, Carl. It's amazing.
Was it 244-2000?
245-2000. And it's amazing what goes on that most of us don't know. And it's heartening because a lot of these people they don't know what to do. They just their rights are being trampled on by the county departments. And what we're finding out is
Is there any specific department that seems to be trampling?
It's the building department, you know, for code enforcement. Or
who heads that up, do you know?
Well, there's the code enforcement gentleman is Jerry Bellinger.
Uh-huh.
And then his boss is Russ Small.
Uh-huh.
And it just kind of goes on from there. But we're getting a lot of people calling in, and it's taking me some time to get back to them. What we're doing is kind of going back in and getting discovery on their property and seeing the circumstances. And I had a phone conversation for about 2 hours yesterday with my attorney in Sacramento, and we're moving forward with this because these guys are just out of control. They tell you they want to make businesses work up here and they need more money, but they're not allowing us to do what we need to do to work. I know so many people that have said, just let us work. Let us go earn some money and pay our taxes. But they can't even do it. And so I'm gonna be going to the thing on Tuesday for the city or for the county council there and speaking in front of them on Tuesday morning.
Okay, you're going to be going to the board of supervisors
on Tuesday morning, and I get 3 minutes. And I'm going to go back every Tuesday if I have to. Then I'm scheduling a meeting with my engineer and the county to try to get stuff moved forward, which we still want to get this back open. And if my attorney told me yesterday, if they do not allow me to get going, he's going to put a restraining order against the county from coming on my property. He says this is something is.
I don't think they can come on your property anyway, can they? Don't they have to be invited?
Well, yeah, they do, but they don't believe that. And a lot of things, what we found out is when you get an open permit with the county, before they allow you, before they'll give you that permit, you have to sign your private property rights away before they'll give you a permit. And so it's kind of a thing.
That sounds kind of dictatorial.
Well, it's kind of an extortion thing because what they're saying is we won't let you do anything until you pay us money and give us the right and you sign your private property rights away. And so we're moving forward with this. And
I don't think they can do that.
Well, I know they can, but we have to start standing up for our rights, and that's what I'm doing. I like I said, I'm getting a lot of calls from these people.
Well, you know, there's an insurance policy that a guy named Anselmo started called TARS.
Mm-hmm.
You need to look that up. And
yeah.
Because this whole thing is to provide property owners with help on environmental things and code enforcement,
mm-hmm.
and it's an insurance policy.
Yeah, and I've talked to him, and we're looking into that. Another thing is where the people got by these metal storage containers. There's hundreds of these that are being sold
uh-huh.
in the county, and the county allows them to be sold, but then they don't tell you that they're not supposed to be in on your property. So let you sell them. You put them in, and then they come by until you can't have them.
You can't have a steel storage container on your property.
No, in a lot of circumstances, it's not zoned for it. But my problem is I went to the county facilities. The county has them all over the place. They use them, and I asked them about that. I said, "Well, why is it okay for you guys to be in violation of the county ordinance or the city ordinance, and the public can't have these?" They tell me they're the county; they can do what they want, and their stuff is more important than the people they.
Larry Lee's going to be on our show next week.
and Larry Lee, the county administrator,
is
going to be on the show next week. We're going to be talking budgets a lot, but I think this is probably a good way to ask some questions about that.
Okay.
About why are things like this happening? Why, if you can buy a steel, and maybe he'll say, well, wait, that's not true, you can. And if that's the case, well, then somebody is out of control. And what I have found from people that I've talked to, and believe me, Larry, there are many people that approach me on this whole thing. And they have the same problems you do. You're the first. You're not the first one that sued them, because most people don't have the time or money, and they're just saying, you know, this is just going to come back and bite me anyway. But what we find is that in some cases it's a little, it's one of their bureaucrats that's out there enforcing law, or he doesn't understand what he or she is doing. And they take a page out of a book and go, oh, this is what it means. Well, that's what it means to them. It doesn't maybe mean that to everybody else in the world. So, anyway.
Well, let me get that number one time more out.
245-2000.
And if you have a problem, give us a call.
You know what? I hope people do. If they're having any type of problem, give Larry a call. Just say, you know what? If you've got a lot of people having a problem, it's time for a change. If it's one or two, then maybe, you know, people have to kind of... change a little bit, both sides. But if you're having a great deal of problems, then you need to start looking at the leadership there.
Yeah, and three or more people that have problems can start a class action lawsuit. And that's another thing we're headed toward, too, after mine, is because there is a lot of stuff that is happening that people do not realize until we start talking about it and getting together and giving ways people to express what's happened.
Okay.
Okay,
all right.
Thank you very much.
All right, thank you, Larry.
Bye.
Bye.
Well, you know how I feel about that, Bob. Is, you know, and the thing is, if it was just Larry Gasper giving me a call, I'd go, okay. But I've talked to people I know, people that just come to me and said, this is what they've done to me, this is what they've done to me. You know, it's almost criminal the way that people in this county are being treated by some of the bureaucrats here. Mm-hmm. You know, that things aren't clear. Are they change things? Are they come in and say, well, I'm sorry, you can't sell that candy there. You know, it doesn't have this and this. Or are those grapes for people to eat, you know, that are on, you know, they're out? Go, no, they're not to eat. They're good. Otherwise, you'd have to cover them with plastic and all these things. And it's like, you know... What have you gotten into? What has the county gotten into? Is it this? They have to do things to you know, say, we're earning our keep by doing this. And who is Russ Maul? Why do I, you know, everybody in here is writing in the chat room. Russ Maul. Who is Russ Maul? Is he the one that heads this stuff up?
I believe he's a county resource manager, which covers a huge amount of territory.
How interesting. Maybe we can get Mr. Maul on. He can explain all this so people won't have these problems. We get Mr. Maul on and just say, hey, what's all these complaints about? What's going on here? And why can't it be fixed? Hey, anyway, when we come back, Francie Sullivan, one of our favorite people, is going to be with us on the 8 o'clock hour. We're going to talk about...
Now that she's in her seat.
Yeah, city council person.
Seat.
Again, Francie in a seat of power. We like it.
Hey, you know, by the way, you know, the at Turtle Bay, the costume collection is ending on Sunday.
Oh, I got to go.
We haven't gone.
I thought you were dressed in one.
No, I'm
that's
telling
your
you,
Star
Friday,
Trek?
Tomorrow night, we're going.
That's not your Star Trek?
We are going. I'll tell you the hours.
You dress like that all the time? we got to take a break here for the news. It's Carl and Linda Bott. Good morning. We've got Francie Sullivan when we come back. And we can give the weather and all that stuff when we come back, too. Because it's cold out
34
there.
34 degrees.
Right. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bot. Good morning, January the 6th, 8:05. It is 34 degrees as we sit here at the stations of KCNR.
It's going to be high, the temperature today. Beautiful sunny day, a high of 58 degrees, and we love that.
Bathing suit weather. Just go out and it's balmy.
Great for a little fireplace action. Weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. Before the break, I promised you that I was going to give you a little bit more detail here on what's happening with the costume. It's called Out of This World. It's going to end Sunday, and that is out at the Turtle Bay Exploration Park, of course. Featuring more than 40 costumes, we have got to go because we are really blessed to have these incredible exhibits that come to Reading at Turtle Bay, and one of this. Okay, they're models and props from science fiction films such as Star Wars, and one of my favorite films, one of my top ten, Blade Runner, Terminator, Star Trek, Tron, Batman, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., Wednesdays through Saturdays, and 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. on Sundays. So make sure you check this out by this weekend. Just go see it. Say you did.
There you go. Do we have to wear a costume when we go?
That's not a problem.
That ought to give the chat room a start. Okay, because they're still talking about Linda and Mrs. Peel when I say she's on assignment.
I love it.
Yeah, well, it's pretty true, guys.
Cleaning my gun.
We are honored to have him here today. Our newest council person, Francie Sullivan.
Good morning.
Good morning.
You know, Francie has spent a lot of time in the studio. Yeah, you know, over the last, what, 6 months, I
congratulations,
guess.
By the way.
Thank you very much. I think you've turned the heat up in here. I like it.
We have nothing to say about it anymore. It's just sometimes it's hot, sometimes it's cold. Mainly it's hot. Anyway.
I'm not even going to go there, but welcome to the program.
Yeah, I saw you the night of the election, and you were happy, of course, and congratulated you. I thought it was, you know, well-run, and I thought you ran a very classy
dignified
campaign.
Well, thank you. And that was our intent.
And I have to say that across the board, you are very well liked.
Oh, well, thank
yeah,
you.
So you've
thank
left,
you. Could I get a note?
Well, I mean, look, you know, you've left behind. You were once a supervisor.
Yes.
So you left behind feelings for people that know you before we ever came here, that you're a good person. And that you try, you do good things. And that, so I always like to share when somebody says good things behind your back, I need to tell you.
I appreciate that. That is, I can come down here every morning if you'd like. No, if you'd be willing. This is a great way to start
listening to it every day, that would be a big step forward there. I know.
30 years of public radio, so,
Well, that explains a few things. So. Hey, Francie, instead of getting started on something, we're going to take a quick break, Bad Bob, and we'll come back, because I want to talk about this charter city.
All right.
This, it's in the papers today, plus a few other things, especially with the new voting on the new contracts for the two unions.
Yes.
Those are a lot of things we can get started with. Okay, Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, home of Free Fire Media. Our guest is Francie Sullivan, Reading's newest council member. Join us after these messages. CNR. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Our phone lines here are 605-4567. We're streaming and chatting. KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott, 8:11 in the morning. It's 34 degrees.
And you may want to give us a call here, 605-4567. That is the hotline. Francie Sullivan is our guest. And we know that we have several people chatting, but, dial in and place a call. It gets things going, even though for those people who are driving, they can't really get involved with the chat. And our chat room is on fire. It always is on fire. We love that. By the way, this portion of the program is brought to you by Mike's Music on Cypress Avenue. Having a great sale, go in. If you've got that after Christmas money and you're thinking about that guitar or that piano or that piece of sound equipment, Mike's Music, the experts, locally owned. Check it out, Cypress Avenue, Mike's Music.
243-3774 is their phone number. Our guest, Francie Sullivan, who's got all of her clothes on in here in the...
Carl.
I didn't mean it exactly like that.
But
I didn't mean that. She doesn't have
last
all her clothes
on. She just came in her boots, but...
No, with her... But she's got... Francie, are you cold in here? I mean, this is,
whoa.
I mean, we're all in here sweating, and you've got coats and scarves and all types of things.
Well, I think it's a carryover from, I remember once during the summer,
we did freeze.
I hate air conditioning. Yeah. I mean,
I'm
happy when it's 110. And I remember being in here and someone commenting about I sounded really nervous or my voice was quavering or something. I was just freezing.
So I
come prepared now to stay warm and not have a quivery voice. But
the
and that, folks, is what with clothes on means. Okay. Meaning she's got several layers.
Big news this week: two things. One is that two union contracts
were signed?
Yes.
If I understand this right, and I don't want to put words in your mouth because you're studying it better than I do, is that the union personnel will pay their CalPERS?
Yes.
But at the same time, they also get a raise to cover that amount. Is that an incorrect way of saying that?
I think that's close.
Okay.
I think it isn't an exact.
Okay.
The numbers are intricate, but it's very close, yes. And that not only, I mean, this happens over a few years. So
yeah, it's spread out over two or
yes,
three years, I
yes.
believe.
So one thing to keep in mind, I am eternally optimistic. The S&P is up. I heard the job numbers are up. I listened to the positive financial news. But if somehow we came back into boom times, they have agreed to not have it. I think it's unfortunate that it's characterized as a raise because, in fact, they will not be getting more money in their pockets. They'll be staying even, which in these times is a good thing. But
Social Security people don't get that.
Exactly. But to be agreeing to that for future, if all of a sudden times got good and we all got big raises in Social Security and things, that would,
Okay.
At any rate, it was a negotiated agreement, which we have professional negotiators that negotiate that. And that is how it happened. And
it was unanimous, too.
Yes.
Okay. Now, we've got, let's go to Bruce. Bruce, you've got a question for Francie.
Absolutely. Good morning, Carl, Linda, and Francie.
Good morning.
And maybe the reason she's got extra clothes on up there is Carl can't afford to turn up the juice because of the new rate increases that we're going to be faced with the next couple of years. I was somewhat disappointed with the decision that came out of the meeting Tuesday, and I thought during all the campaign promises that everybody that was campaigning, that it's unsustainable where this headed with these package programs that these people have. And all of a sudden, it seems like that whatever comes out of the meeting rooms in the city is what's taken into consideration rather than people that speak from the floor up there. But I just don't quite understand where we came out anything to the plus on this. Your comment?
The retirement benefits are paid out over years and years, and I believe a major concern with the financial stability of government agencies everywhere are the future costs of the pensions. And so that is will be, over the long haul, a significant savings.
I thought, but during the short haul, what happens? I mean,
well, I think
during the campaign, didn't everybody say it probably looked like pave the PERS and at least 10% cuts? Tough love?
I was not in that camp. I don't know who was saying that, but I mean that was one of the discussions during the campaign, was that the negotiations about retirement benefits and health benefits are long-term cost savings. They have not a terrific amount of impact on the short term. And as for ignoring public comment, these things are negotiated contracts. Part of the problem, or I don't know if it's a problem, but I think there is a lack of understanding that these things are negotiated out on a give and take. And it is possible to impose contracts, but it's very costly. It takes a long time. And the most, I think, cost-effective method is to come to an agreement.
Well, the Charter City issue looks like something that really, really, really should be looked into as far as I'm concerned. Maybe that they would have verbiage in their stuff that would say cut and reduce, which doesn't seem to be, whether it's local or whether it's federal. Thank you.
We'll be talking, Bruce, about Charter City also as one of our questions. I think what the question is, what I'm seeing across on the chat room and from what Bruce has said, is those A and B, where it said that the city employees will pay their CalPERS and the health. And it was 65% and 70% or 60% and 70%, something like that. Nowhere in it did it say that the city was going to make up what they pay in raises. Now, you can not call them raises because they're paying that amount else. But what you're doing is you're backfilling them with that. And
by using that money, if the raises were not given, Francie, would that give us cash instantly? I mean, if we did not give them raises, would that cash be available to us for things?
I would imagine that it would. I don't know, again, that in this instance it's a significant amount of money.
Well, because they're two small unions, right? Relatively small.
Yes.
But when you get into big unions, it could be significant.
Yes. And that negotiation
is
still going on.
Okay. So. I just think that was a confusion when people saw it. Not that people didn't appreciate that the union says, hey, we're going to pay hours and this. And this is going to be, you know, down the road where we see money and the benefits coming to us. But I don't think they realized is that, oh, they're getting a raise along with it.
Also, the rules, I believe, and I'm new at this, I mean, so please, you know, allow me room to not have this correct, but I believe that we have to get all of the, we have to make these changes in the retirement program at one time. We cannot just piecemeal, we can't call PERS and say, okay, we get four more people on, and we want to change the program. So there is also an advantage to the city and to all of us to bring everybody on board as quickly as possible, because at that point we can make the changes.
We also raised the age too, I believe.
Yes.
From 55 to 60.
There are two different contracts, so I can't tell you that. But there are changes. Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. Well, we have to take a break. Our guest is Francie Sullivan, who is graciously is coming on board here, and her our newest Reading City Council person.
And it is a public servant. I mean, you are totally serving the public, and we are taking your calls if you have questions for Francie Sullivan. 605-4567 is the hotline. We'll see you after these messages on KCNR 1460.
Our 1460, this portion of the show is brought to you by BNT Satellite. Doug Tooley, been in the business since 1985, puts in dish satellite. His phone number is 244-1988. He's just moved to 1346 Liberty Street. He guarantees his work. I think he may even still have coupons that get you a month of free dish HDTV under channels. Give you something to do this January when all the bowl games are coming on and all the great new shows. I suppose somebody watches those new shows. You could be listening to the radio. It makes you much smarter.
I agree.
Yeah, see? Francie and I are agreeing on something else. Anyway, that's Doug Tooley, Dish Satellite, 244-1988. Our guest, Francie Sullivan, Reading City Council person, newest one. Got a lot of questions coming in here. City Charter.
Yes.
Dick Dickerson was on the other day. Was not really sold on this idea, I guess you could say, on a charter city. Well, what's your opinions of it?
I think we always need to look at every possibility for doing everything better and more efficiently. I mean, I feel that way pretty much about everything in my life. There's always a better way to do things. I am concerned about a couple of issues about the charter city. One, I think there is a wide-held belief that if we just became a charter city, our problems would all be solved, and I think we'd still have the same problems. We don't have enough money to provide the services that we've had in the past. Chico, as I just said to the two of you a minute ago, Chico's a charter city, and they're in a standoff with their police force. So being a charter city doesn't resolve all those issues. I am very concerned that I believe at the city we have a bare bones staff. I think it will take a lot of time and a lot of work to be sure that this is done well, because I don't know that this is an absolutely accurate description, but I view a charter city as writing a constitution for our local government. That's very serious. It's very complicated. I mean, just writing an intent for incorporating your radio station or something. It takes a lot of time to do that well and thoughtfully and with a view for the future.
Well, they said that charters may include provisions regulating city election dates and conduct, appointment of municipal officials, process for removing municipal officials, form of government, budget adoption, police force constitution, ordinance adoption procedure, city contracts, all
exactly.
of that.
Exactly. It's very detailed, and it should be. So I worry about us having, obviously we should have many, many staff people with expertise in doing things like running elections and things involved in that. And so that's a challenge at this time when there shouldn't be anyone left that has 5 extra seconds to do anything besides just what needs to be done to get us through the day. The other thing I think we all need to be mindful of is that charter cities cut both ways. I mean, this was in Oakland, a vote of the people in Oakland on benefits on law enforcement caused 80 police officers to be laid off because the people there had voted for a level of benefits that they couldn't, that the city this year could not afford. But it had been voted on by the people. It's sort of like, you know, propositions at the state level, you can't just go back and change that because it's not convenient. You have to follow the vote of the people. And getting an election of everyone in the city to make a decision on the city is complicated.
Well, as we said before, our guest this morning is Francie Sullivan, who is our newly elected city council member. We are not only just taking your in the chat room at KCNR 1460. We have a wonderful email that's come in I'd like to read after Fox News, talking about some of your other involvements in activities that on a positive nature. We really need to shine some light on some other things that you've been involved with, other organizations that you've been involved with in Shasta County. And we have about 2 minutes left. So before this break, should we go to another question?
Sure. The questions in here are usually, can we continue to afford unions? It seems like that, you know, and what they're making as comments is that right now the unions are, people are going back and everybody's renegotiating with unions because of all the, perks, but the, paying for the health care and the retirements and all that's being renegotiated. Do unions still have a place here?
I don't think we get to choose whether there are unions or not. I think that is the employee's choice, unless someone has an idea of firing every single police officer and firefighter and electric worker, which I certainly wouldn't think it'd be a good idea.
Shasta Regional just voted out their union.
But the employees chose that.
Right.
And they chose that because they thought they were being treated well and fairly and that they could negotiate on their own. I don't think the employees in the city feel that way. I thought Dick Dickerson was actually trying to make an effort to go that way at the first city council meeting after the election when he suggested that they meet with the unions and try to work things out, try to come to amicable solutions to future costs. And that obviously has been my stand all along. I think we certainly can't. I don't know anyone, including any of the employees of the unions, who think we can continue doing what's been done in the past. It's how you get there.
Okay. All right. We've got about 30 seconds left. You know, when we come back, Melinda's got that email that you wanted, right? My take, too, was that the union said we've got to get all this settled this year. And I think it will be. I think that we're going to see that all this is going to be handled this year. But still a lot of things out there to be talked about. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
1460, this is Carl and Linda Bott, and our special guest this morning is Francie Sullivan, our newest elected member of City Council.
It's 8:34 in the morning. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold. Great haircuts, great prices, and they give a discount to veterans. That's right, a discount to veterans. Go on down there. It's right off Athens Avenue. It's right in the Cypress Square area there. And don't worry about getting your nails done. It is a barbershop. They don't do nails. They don't do hair gelling, except maybe Rich Bay. They do haircuts. That's Cypress Square Barbershop, Man's Last Stronghold.
All right, Carl. Okay, we have an email that's come in. By the way, I'm going to shut the door there because we're hearing a lot. Just a second. Okay, that's what happens. We've got a lot of people coming in and out of the station. Great to hear Francie on the program this morning. This is a recent email, and you too can email us at kcnr1460.com.
Linda at KCNR.
Okay. I know that Francie has spent a lot of years in service to the citizens of Shasta County in a variety of ways, not just as a county supervisor. Can you ask her about some of her other activities, such as the Shasta County Women's Refuge and the Women's Fund? It would be nice for the public to get to know the side of her public service as well. Francie's service is a great treasure for our community.
Well, what a nice... I mean, I just don't know what to say.
I know. Well, how about you share with...
that we have nothing good to say.
So, yeah, because people can sit there and, you know, start firing the fireballs, but let's talk about the positive aspect of what it is to do true community service, not only on city council and as county supervisor, but, again, the questions are for the Shasta County Women's Refuge and Women's Fund.
I'm on the board of directors of the Women's Refuge, and it's just the most amazing board I think I've ever been on. They are a very hard-working board, very involved, very engaged, and very smart women. I was honored that they allowed me to be part of the board. And I'm also very impressed. The Women's Refuge board does a wonderful job. They actually interview people. I mean, I'm just honored to even be part of that group. And I always feel like a slacker because they work very hard. And right now, if anybody would like to buy tickets to the Crab Feed.
Well, when is the Crab Feed?
Crab Feed is the 5th of February. And also, if you'd like to donate something like, for instance, maybe a free ad on a radio station or something, you know, Barbara Harrison, Women's Refuge Board.
Oh, Barbara. Barbara talked to us a month ago. We're in on that one.
If you see Barbara Harrison headed your way, clutch your wallet.
Yeah, I know.
Or
she's
get
great.
It out and write a big check to the Women's Refuge. I could do 10 hours on all the services they provide here for children, for teenagers, education. It's a wonderful organization. We're very, very lucky. And I think everyone should try to imagine what would happen to someone who is being abused if the police did not have places like the Refuge to take victims.
And there's a whole education around that I think that we should cover in a program down the road.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This would be a great time because, like everyone else, the public funding for things like women's domestic violence, those kinds of things have been cut.
And psychologically, so, again, why people keep going back. I mean, that's just a whole study in itself.
Yes, exactly. I am also on the, I always say the summit, the cabinet of the Women's Fund, which was started by the Shasta Regional Community Foundation, or with their support. Ann Peterson and Susan Siemens spent years looking at the advantage of a women's fund for our community. It's to encourage philanthropy and for women and families. But one of the primary things that appeal to me is it's a chance for people like me who do not have huge amounts of money, but if we pool our money into a common fund, we actually can do great things. And that's another, this year we gave our first grant and gave it to Girls Inc., which I hope somebody will have a show about Girls Inc., because it's a program that's to help young students, women students, go in a better direction, which is an advantage to all of us. I mean, we need all the productive young people in our society, especially people like me who do not have kids. I'm counting on those kids to get good jobs and take care of me in my old age. Mm-hmm. I probably the thing that I am the most thrilled about is I'm the president of Renaissance Reading. I actually had begged them the first time I was president because I went to the bathroom during nomination period and, you know, lost the draw. But this year I actually begged them to let me try and do it again.
Sigourney Weaver during her Oscar, you know, winning her Oscar and she's going to the bathroom. There you go.
Never leave the room. You know?
Yeah.
But Renaissance Reading is an incredible group of women that are committed to public art. Into beautifying not just beautifying, but improving downtown Reading in any way they can. It was started by Kathy Jenkins, who was just a gold mine for our community, and we lost a great treasure when Kathy died way too young. But it's just, and I love Renaissance Reading because they do what I think we all should do. We do what we can. I mean, we don't look at I mean, I think it is always easy to think someone else, some government agency should be doing a better job, somebody else should be keeping the trails clean, somebody else should be, you know, taking care of the children or reading to old people or whatever. But it's us. We all need to do that.
I think as a volunteers and being parts of groups like that.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
I'm not sure the government needs to come in and take care of my
grandchildren. I think every single one of us can do something. And so...
Okay, we're going to take a break because we've got some questions rolling in here again. When we come back, Jerry Brown's plan to dump more of the social services onto local government. And I also want to address Stillwater and what's going on there, and also ideas to help invigorate the business climate here. I understand we have a new somebody new in charge of... as part of the departments to do that, too. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. 8:44 in the morning, Carl and Linda Bott.
Be careful of the morning frost. This morning it's currently 34 degrees, and today is going to be high of 58. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low of 35. The weather is always brought to you by Ensamo Vineyards. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew. One of my favorite places to go have coffee is espresso. I always want to say espresso. I guess it's just expression. I express myself at Espresso Joe's. And then they also have this meeting room that's next to Espresso Joe's is really wonderful because Joe and Shelley at Espresso Joe's and Tobacco and Brew left this meeting room. If you want to go there and do a meeting, all you have to do is call and it's free. It's wonderful that they
you
do this for a community room.
Wow.
And.
Yeah.
Again,
it's for the community.
Yeah, so Tobacco and Brew, this portion of the show. And they've been with us since day one, since Carl hit the airwaves in day one. They have sponsored this program, and we want to say thank you.
Fancy, Jerry Brown has a plan to dump most of the more social services upon local government and without the funding. What's your take on that one?
Gratitude that I'm not a county supervisor, because I think they are the ones who are really going to have a tough time. I was a supervisor during the last restructuring in 91 when they used vehicle license fees to pay for mental health services, which they turned back over to counties without funding. And it's, you know, the problem at the local level is you also have to deal with the victims, the clients, it's much more of a whammy than just not being able to provide the services. At the city, the biggest issue that I've heard so far is they also have said that they are looking at the redevelopment money, which they already took a fairly big hunk of last year, redevelopment money and perhaps ending enterprise zones. And, of course, that's worrisome.
Yeah.
And you know, unfortunately, there are cities that didn't do that well. I mean, that did abuse those. In Reading, I think we just can look everywhere in our town and see where the redevelopment agency was a huge asset, where they've done amazing things. I mean, you can go out your front door and look down the mall. And so it's worrisome. I mean, it is the eternal problem. You know, we can have all the government we can afford, and right now we've grown to expect a lot more government than we can afford, and so what are we going to do about it?
Well, you know, it's not going to get any better right now. I know what we said about there's more people being hired, but it's not going to get any better.
Hang in there, Jack.
Yeah. So, but what Stillwater? We've had a couple companies. It looks like one's actually signed a letter of agreement, letter of intent.
We've closed the deal.
Okay, so they're coming.
They're coming.
Okay, now that's the
tell us the
aluminum
company.
That's the aluminum.
Okay.
Southwest Aluminum. That's too bad, isn't it? I was focused on the agreement.
But it's an aluminum company.
There's a paper company, and every time we bring up the word paper, people go berserk. This is the aluminum company.
Yes.
And people, I mean, they're worried about the paper company for, you know, because of pollution reasons, and that really is not the reason to be concerned about that. Well, that's a different subject. So it's a good start. Stillwater, we actually got somebody in there.
I think it is. They seem like, you know, it's a family-owned business. That's always tremendously appealing to me. And the, in fact, at the first meeting where I was sworn in, the father and son from the company were here visiting, came to the city council meeting.
And they are from? Okay. All right, so go ahead. You were at the meeting. That's all right. We'll find that out.
I should know those things. I can tell you about the agreement.
Yeah, well, great.
That's
no, I just wondered if they're
the agreement.
I mean, how far out of state if they're from Texas?
You have to understand. Linda draws a picture. She
I do.
Yeah,
I'm sorry.
No. I think this is this is an excellent start, given especially, you know, the times. that we attracted them here. So.
Right.
Businesses coming to Reading, we are excited about that. That means home sales, that means jobs, that means tax revenue increase. Yeah, I mean, not increase, but, you know, adding to our budget, our city, you know, bottom line. It's great.
I mean, that is actually a concern of mine also, because when it comes to the bottom line, the property tax that will be paid, I think $58,000 a year, the first year or something. I shouldn't even be saying numbers because I have a lot of information in my head. Some of it might be accurate, but it goes to the redevelopment agency. So from strictly laying out the books, the financial advantage back to the city is over the long haul again.
Right. Yeah. It's over a five-year period.
So, yep. You know, I mean, that I think always, I think there's a bit of irony, and I do understand that, you know, we are paying public employees, but at a time when we spent $27 million of public money to attract living wage jobs here, we're worried about whether police and firemen and electric workers have health care. I mean, it's sort of like the 9/11 debate in New York, where we all were so grateful to those police and firemen and all those people who went in to save people and all the horrible things they ended up having to do in 9/11. But when their health care 10 years later is at risk, we've kind of lost interest in them. And I think there's a crisis. I mean, I'll tell you, police and fire are pretty darn popular right now in San Bruno. So you want to be mindful of, if there's a crisis, you want the best people you've got out there making the decisions that will save your life. You know, if your baby's dying in your arms, you want the best trained firefighter to show up. I mean, because in general, I think firefighters frequently are there faster than the ambulance is. You want a really well-trained person to save your life.
Well, that's another question, too, and we have to take a break here, is like 90% of what a fire engine runs on, the when they roll out, it's for non-fires.
Yes.
How much money does that cost?
Yes.
You know, I mean, how many hundreds of thousands a year is that? Is that a fire station kept open? Is that extra firemen? Because people they're going out on non-fires.
Are there communities where the firefighters don't do medical response?
I'm sure there are. I'm sure they have. I'm sure they've got some kind of contracts with ambulances, ambulance services.
So who would pay for the ambulances to go on all those calls?
Well, I assume it
would
probably...
I mean, do you think it would be cheaper for the public if we...
Well, it would be a private contractor. But the idea is that, you know, somebody needs to take a look at it, I think, that says if 90% of our calls are firemen going out on non-fire calls, and even a lot of these are non-emergency calls. I mean, talk to them, I mean, which I'm sure you have. It's not that they're not doing a great job, and they are. That's got nothing to do with it. The fact is that they're rolling to go to a house because the woman can't get her, or a man can't get the refrigerator open, or they need a ride to town. Oh, this has happened. You need to talk to them about it. Anyway, we got to take a break. Carl and the Bot, Free Fire Radio, right here on KCNR 1460.
I won't down. No, I won't back down.
Carl and Linda Bot here on KCNR 1460.
At the gates of hell.
Our guest this morning
but
is Francie Sullivan.
Back down.
And I wanted to also remind you that tonight, Thursday night's On the Spot with Linda Bot. I'll be back in the seat with my guest, Lisa Collins. We also have a very wonderful young musician. We're going to be talking about a fundraiser Sunday night that's going to be a murder mystery theater, trying to raise funds for her to go to China to play in the symphony. She's been chosen one of many.
A bassist.
She's a stand-up double bassist, and of course, I've been asked to sing a couple songs. How can you say no? So it's going to be me and a bass player and a couple saxes, and it's going to be really cute because, you know, we really want to get behind our youth, and the fact that she's been chosen to play in the Philharmonic in China, and not cool. only that, she's going to be, I think, in two or three different classes. What a world time experience for a 16-year-old girl.
Out of our little community.
Out of our community.
Yeah. That's right.
Speaking of community-minded, Francie Sullivan, we do have a caller on the line. Jim?
Yes.
Welcome to the program.
Hey, Jerry Brown said that when he was running for office that he didn't know what he was going to do, and everybody's just lying to you anyway. So Francie's got a lot of work cut out trying to figure out what he's thinking.
I think that's true.
I don't think anybody knows really what I think. I don't think anybody knows, Jim, what Jerry Brown's going to do. But next Monday or Tuesday, he's going to talk. He's going to present the budget.
I think he's going to put everything to the outside. Everything to the counties, to the cities.
Well, you know what? And the thing about it is, we're going to have Larry Lees on next Wednesday, and he wanted to wait till after the budget came out and after the council supervisors. Had a meeting, but he's going to be on next Wednesday to kind of tell us what kind of impact this new budget is going to happen.
Yeah, it's going to be a big impact, I'm thinking.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Yeah.
All right, thanks a lot, Jim.
Thank you. Bye.
Okay, Francie, we got just a couple minutes left. Tell us your vision. Is it survival?
No,
growing up.
I think you've heard me go on and on about this a lot already, but I think Reading is a gold mine. I think, you know, we just, for one thing, we live in this amazing area, which I think is very easy to take for granted. My husband and I moved to the Bay Area for a couple of years. We loved where we lived down there, too, but you come back, and there's everything here. There's absolutely everything, including the city 3 hours away, and the ocean 3 hours away, and mountains, and, you know, I mean, just, and I've always thought that we're just an undiscovered,
paradise.
Treat. Well, I mean, I wonder why do people go to Lake Tahoe? I mean, they got a lake, but I mean, you know, it's limited, it's cold. You can't play golf and ski on the same day there, unless you golf in the snow, I guess. But so I just want us to be as wonderful as we can be. It's why I believe in things like the Women's Fund. It concerns me that right now we seem to be in kind of a hunkering down a mode that seems mean-spirited rather than supportive. I would like to see our community shift gears to trying to figure out what we can do to keep the best police officers, the best firefighters, the best electric workers. And that isn't just money. That's appreciation, respect. I mean, I think all the studies show once, you know, you've got enough food in your belly, the next most important thing is appreciation to people.
Well, I think,
and I think, you know, I mean, I think just not from us feeling really good about our community. I think also if we're going to attract businesses here, I urge people all the time. I can never understand why some people at Social Security at the Chamber of Commerce went after the public employees at the same time they were trying to fill Stillwater, because they kept creating headlines in the paper, which any business person in the rest of the country that was looking for a place to relocate would look at, about a big fight in the city over, you know, police and fire, which is pretty critical for businesses moving to town. I think if you Google comparative towns and you could move anywhere, which there are lots of choices now and lots of people giving out good things, you want to go someplace where people are building, not tearing down. And I think that's what we need to focus on. And by being supportive of the police, the fire, the city employees, the county employees, the public people who bring us our lifestyle, it does not mean that we pay them every last dime we've got. I don't think any of them expect that or want that. But we need to go back to an area where we respect people's professional ability.
And I agree. And that's of the 760 people that work for the city. I believe that's it, 760, 770. I believe they should be taken care of, but I also believe that 90,000 others that live in Reading also, because they're the ones that pay these, that everybody gets a fair shake here, and that everybody gets, across the board, gets that, you know, that is supported.
I mean, all sides. It's not just
absolutely.
The city.
And I
know you believe that, but I wanted to make sure everybody understands that,
sure.
that the city council is to support everybody, not just that union.
Well, I don't think that's the intent. I don't
right.
think that's what the police or fire or electric workers
no,
or anyone else in the
I don't
city
think
want.
It
I think
is
what
either.
They want
right.
is to be respected. That's what we all want. And I think that trickles down to much better service for us.
That's a great way to end this. So,
wonderful.
Francie Sullivan, thank you so
thank
much
you.
Again for coming on.
For being on Free Fire Radio. And
tomorrow,
thank you, Chatters.
Yeah,
anytime.
And tomorrow we're going to have Patrick Jones, who may have just a little bit different viewpoint at times. But just remember, Carl on the Bot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460. It's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR, Shasta, Redding.